The Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com.
I got that wood.
This.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Is.
Smile.
The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I refuse to wear pants.
Tommy Kraft.
Tavita Tuolaka Ogno Tuolapa Opono Mosisetovo Vahi Oho Vihokeo Balai Tutuo. I think I nailed it.
And Nick Mason.
I'm going to invite all my closest friends to play golf, and Tommy Kraft, John Neighbors are not part of that group.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
And welcome into the Morning Rush on this beautiful Monday morning. Appreciate everybody listening in today. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you. Thank you all for making us a part of your morning this morning. Tom Murphy will be joining us around 7:45 this morning to recap a big weekend for the Razorback baseball team. We'll also get into some SEC football talk and scheduling. Can there be changes on the horizon for SEC changing their football schedule for the better or for the worse? But we'll get into that as well. It's a hot take Monday, so
And how will it benefit Alabama?
We'll
talk
right
about all of
well,
that.
Well, that's, yeah, exactly. I don't think, no matter what the changes is going to happen, it's not going to hurt Alabama. At least we can say that. But yeah, we're going to get into all that, and it's a hot take Monday. So send all your hot takes to us on Twitter at Morning Rush Show or call in at 877-377-6963. I think there is only one way to open up this show, and that is to talk about the Arkansas baseball team sweeping Texas A&M over the weekend to improve their home record 29-3 at Bomb Stadium in the regular season. That is just unheard of. But we knew that Arkansas was going to have to win this series if they still wanted to have a chance at having a national seed. I think we even talked about last week that in their final six regular season games, they needed to go 4-2. Well, starting 3-0 is a pretty good start. Now, they have Georgia coming up this weekend on the road, and we know about their struggles and not being able to win an SEC road series just yet, but they will have another opportunity to kind of get that monkey off their back. But just what a dominant performance by Arkansas. The pitching was really good. You had Blaine Knight just throwing smoke on Friday. They beat Texas A&M 9-3. Casey Murphy came in, had a low-scoring game, but still got the victory 3-1. Isaiah Campbell on Sunday, He also had a big week or a big game as well, 6-3 final there for Arkansas. So they just take care of business against the Aggies. Might have destroyed the Aggies' chances and hopes of hosting their own regional. I mean, Arkansas is in great shape. I'll be curious to see if they improve on their ranking, or their current ranking at least, when it comes. I think number 6 is what they're at now. So we'll see if they try to jump into the top 5. But there were also some bad things that happened over the weekend. Not necessarily long term. We'll see how it goes. But you had two key injuries to Arkansas baseball, and this is the last time that you want to have any type of injuries. Jax Biggers gets hit in his index finger, and it was a small fracture at the top, started bleeding when he tried to take a bunt, and it hit him right in the finger. Can't imagine how badly that hurt. He definitely looked like he was in a lot of pain and wasn't really too happy about that situation. But they say that he should be back here soon. But the other one that was a scary moment was Grant Cook, the catcher, trying to go for a wild pitch that was out there and got his cleat stuck in the ground, wiggled his ankle. But Dave Van Horn said in the press conference afterwards, they think it's just an ankle sprain, which, I mean, it's still a serious thing, but when you first look, I thought it may have been an Achilles. It was that type of twist. He was writhing in pain, needed help off the field. But we'll see and keep you updated on that. But, man, you can't have injuries to anybody, don't get me wrong, but to have somebody like Grant Cook especially, if he's not going to be able to go 100% the rest of the way, it's going to be huge for Arkansas.
And you get one less day to get these guys healthy, because to Athens, you're going to try to win your first road series, two critical guys, and you know, you don't try to say, well, this guy's more important than the other, but you lose your catcher, that's kind of like your quarterback or your center. I don't know how you want to equate that to another sport, your point guard, because this is the guy that, you know, is kind of set in the infield. This guy that calls the plays. I know he's getting the info in his ear now, but the catcher is so critical to everything, as we know in baseball. So to lose him and his glove and his leadership behind the plate, you hope that, everything is, you know, that he can heal up. But you think about a high ankle sprain. High ankle sprains are worse than, a lot of other injuries to, heal because they take time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, well, but on his position, the range of motion you got to have,
That's right.
The down, the mobility, the way you play that position physically, you wonder how can you get better in a short amount of time. So this will put the training staff to a test to try to get him ready, if it's possible at all.
It's definitely a lot worse. There are people out there, and not at this point in the season, but early in the season, you'd almost rather have a break, because at least with the break, they can go in, they set it, they put it back together, and you're able to stay off of it. The problem is going to be this. You start to feel good Wednesday, probably even Thursday, because you're not putting any pressure on it. He's probably in a walking boot. And so you're feeling throughout the week, it's like, okay, I feel great. School is out, so he's going to be able to get treatment.
Good point.
Around the clock. But what happens is, guys, you start to feel really good. You're like, man, I can do this. You don't realize how sore that thing is, though, until about the first inning or the second inning. You're like, wow, it was way different when I was in that walking boot or in that swimming pool and I was rehabbing. And that's going to be the big difference.
And I would assume, I've never had a high ankle sprain, but just hearing people talk about how painful they are and how hard, a lot of ice bath, a lot of soaking that thing is. Well, you've got all these facilities, these great training facilities here. You go on the road, I'm not sure what the visiting team makes available to you, but I don't imagine they're going to go out of their way to help you get the opponent get ready and get their catcher ready. So now you're buying bags of ice at the 7-Eleven and getting in the hotel bathtub there to get the ice bath.
Yeah, no, and that's definitely what he'll be doing. And the biggest difference, though, is, and I don't know if you guys have heard of cryotherapy, but the big difference is that they have a building here over off of Joyce or Garland or somewhere, but it's very, very close to where all the University of Arkansas athletes can go there, and they can get in those tanks, and then they can put the boots on and they can do that 24/7. Well, they don't travel with that equipment because that equipment does not belong necessarily to the University of Arkansas. It is a member of the medical staff who owns that shop that stays in Fayetteville. So that's going to be the biggest difference, is he's not going to be able to get in those tanks and use those boots, because those things don't travel, and those things heal you because they get extremely cold, and that's the whole thing about an ice bath, is getting very, very cold.
And speaking of travel, you play Thursday, meaning you travel Wednesday, so that even moves the healing process, the deadline to get you better even faster as far as getting your training here.
The question would be, how big of a series is this? And I'm not saying, I'm not talking so much as how big is it to their mental to show that they can win one on the road, because if this is something that you think kind of the situation is set, and I don't follow it as close as you guys do, but if your seat is set, or if you kind of feel like it's set and there's not a lot to play for, this would be a great time to leave whoever's injured back at home, because all these games are going to hit back to back to back to back to back, and it's going to be boom, boom, boom. And if you're dealing with a high ankle sprain, that thing isn't not going to ever get better unless you have rest.
Well, that was going to be my point, is I feel like, of course, going to get in on the road this weekend against Georgia, they're a good team. It'd be nice to get that monkey off their back and all of that. But as far as seeding goes, I still feel like they're a good enough team. Now, again, Cook is a huge loss if they can't go with him, but I think they're still good enough to win one, maybe even still win the series without Cook. I think they have a capable backup, and I think they have enough guys around him to be able to be good. So if, again, Dave Van Horn, he's going to know a lot more about it than me. They're going to know a lot more about the extent of the injury. But I feel like if there is a need or a chance to where they can just rest him for the weekend and that'll make him better prepared for the postseason play, I say just leave him at home and get him rehabbed, get him whatever he needs to get, and then go on the road and try to face Georgia without him. I mean, I know no one wants to really hear that, and I'm sure Cook probably doesn't really want to hear that either, but if you have a chance to really improve that instead of having to hurry him back, depending on the extent of the injury, I feel like you got to do that. I mean, Georgia's a big series, but not that big.
Today's the critical day, because how much swelling, how much soreness do you wake up with Biggers? How does that finger feel today after a night's rest, after you've had treatment yesterday? So today they're going to know a lot more, and we'll hear from Dave Van Horn, you know, early in this week to, you know, I think today, to kind of you get an update on it at that and kind of talk about what happened this weekend and get you set for the upcoming week. So, you know, how they respond to their initial treatment and how the swelling does and all those things that go into these will determine it. But I'm kind of with you, Nick, that, you know, this isn't your season this weekend. It could go a long ways to maybe boosting your national seed. You still need to get that monkey off your back. But guess what? You may have to go to Omaha and win without a critical player. No better time than now to kind of learn how to do that. So, because your season's not on the line this weekend.
The only thing that's really on the line is your guarantee of a national seed. Yeah. I mean, you can still get there, but it'd still be really tough at this point.
All right, 29-3 at home, right?
That's right.
You know any of the three losses? Who did they lose to in the three?
Feels like it's been so long that I can't even remember. I know they lost one to South Carolina.
Good. That was the last time they lost at home. April 12th,
yeah.
South Carolina lost 3-2. That was the last time they lost at home.
South Carolina. I mean, that's really the only one I can actually remember.
That is the only conference game this team lost at Baum Stadium.
At Baum Stadium, yeah. So the other ones were non-conference.
Any other guesses on the other two losses?
I mean, it seems like it was ages ago.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a midweek game?
They were non-conference games, obviously.
It's been that long, I can't even remember.
The other USC. You mentioned South Carolina. They lost to the other USC on March 3rd. And then here's the one that I don't think anyone would guess. They lost to Kent State on the back end of a doubleheader at home on March 9th. Lost two games in about 6 days at home. They had kind of a bad week at home. Lost to USC 3-1 in a good game. Then lost to Kent State 10-4 on the back end of a doubleheader. Then you mentioned the South Carolina game. Those were the 29-3. Those were the three.
So besides the South Carolina game, it's been about 2 months since they lost at home.
April 12th was the last time they lost at Baum Stadium.
That's unbelievable. I mean, it's truly incredible. Truly incredible. And you feel like, hopefully, that they can carry some of that great Baum Stadium, you know, mojo into the postseason where they're going to be hosting a regional.
Let's talk about this later in the show. Is that a good thing or a bad thing that you haven't lost at home since April 12th? I know what you... Well, of course it's a good thing, Kraft! Well, you're going to play, the next time you play at Baum Stadium, your season might be on the line. Or if not, you're going to put yourself in a position for your season to be on the line.
Might be a good thing, might be a bad thing. because some people like to say, oh, well, you like to get those losses out of the way. Like, what does that mean? You like to get the losses out of the way? I don't know, you're allotted.
I don't always subscribe to that theory. Either,
no, I don't either. But yes, we definitely will bring that up in the show. That's an interesting point. 877-377-6963. It is a Hot Take Monday on the Morning Rush presented by Crabtree RV.
Yeah, exit 13 off of I-40 next to the Cracker Barrel in Alma, Arkansas. Almaville. You can stop in and check them out at Crabtree RV. They've got everything you need to get you both new and used travel trailers, RVs. They got motor coaches. They've got everything you need right there. Also got the parts and accessories, camping supplies. It's all right there for you right now. And right now, enjoy 90 days payments free. You can start enjoying your new or used RV today from Crabtree RV in Alma. Hot Take Monday, brought to you by Crabtree RV in Alma.
This is Hot Take Monday on the Morning.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Call in to John and Tommy and get your voice heard. 877-377-6963. This is the Morning Rush.
Going to get into some SEC football talk here in just a second, but first, it is a Hot Take Monday presented by Crabtree RV.
Yeah, it's Hot Take Monday in springtime right now. All in one in Crabtree RV wants you to make your family's dreams come true. You know, you got this week, at least for my kids, 5 days of school this week, and I think 4 next week. Counting them down at my house. They are ready to get out. And zero money down right now gets you into the right RV for your next outdoor adventure. So you're just days away from being able to take the kids for Memorial Day weekend or summer vacation, whatever's coming up on your horizon, to a great state or national park and enjoy your travel trailer, your RV, your motor coach from Crabtree RV. Payment plans start at $138 a month and 90 days payment free right now. You can start enjoying your new or used RV today from Crabtree RV in Alma. They're next to the Cracker Barrel. That's exit 13 off of I-40.
All right, so SEC football. I'm always trying, personally at least, to think of ways to improve not only SEC football and college football in general, because I love the sport. It's my favorite sport. I still feel like even though how great as it is, it's not perfect. It has some problems. It has some flaws. It has some things I want to fix. And I keep going back to scheduling because, let's be honest, 12 games is what almost all college football teams play, at least the major ones. 8 conference games for the majority of them. I know the Big 12 plays 9, or Big 10, Big 12 plays 9 because of their lack of teams that they have. They don't have a high number of them. So here's what I want to bring up for the SEC in general, because I want to improve the conference as much as possible and trying to make it a competitive edge and trying to get some variety in there. So I want to pose this to you guys and also to the audience to see what you think. A 9-game conference schedule for the SEC, where you have 3 permanent opponents each year and 5 rotating opponents, and you take out divisions.
Well, that's how you're doing away with divisions.
Doing away with divisions. To where the SEC title game is then determined on the 2 best teams. Not the best team from each division, but the 2 best teams throughout the conference. I understand that you're not going to be able to play, I guess, excuse, I said 3-5, 3-6. That way it adds up to 9. Got to do simple math there. But having it that way, it's easier to determine who the best teams are. It doesn't give it an unfair advantage to say if the East is down 1 year and the West is great or anything like that. I just feel like divisions are old school now, and there's not really that much of a need for them anymore.
Saban talked about when all of this scheduling stuff came up when the last round of expansion came in and we had Missouri and A&M join the league, and of course everyone wanted to know what Nick Saban thought about the scheduling system. He presented a plan that essentially in a athlete's, it was either a 4 or 5 year rotation, but you would see you would play every school in the league. You would maintain divisions, but you would still find a way to play every school in the league. And because of trying to keep traditions like the Alabama-Tennessee game and keeping certain teams in the same division like Alabama and Auburn, and there's just so many things that seem like they have to happen because TV's going to make them happen. We have not moved in that direction. But his point back then, and I remember this, was as an athlete, you should be able to play and say you've played every school in the league sometime in your career. And I have a hard time disagreeing with that.
I do too.
I mean, over a 4 or 5 season period, you probably should see the other 13 teams in the conference at least once.
Mm-hmm. And I think a setup like this, where you, again, so the 3 permanent opponents will be able to keep those rivalries that people care so much. Obviously, keep Auburn, Alabama. Obviously, keep Auburn and Georgia, Alabama and Tennessee, LSU and Florida. Some of these cross-divisional rivalries or in-division rivalries that people care so much about and that won't move, won't budge, won't do anything. I am completely all for keeping those, but keep those in the 3 permanent, because I believe, and I could be wrong about this, nobody really has, no team has more than 3 teams that they feel like they have to play every year. At least one single team would.
Does Arkansas even have 1,
No. Arkansas is kind of
alone on that. You think about like Ole Miss. They have to play Mississippi State.
That's right.
They have to play LSU. That's a huge game.
Yes, it is.
I'm not sure who their third would be. Maybe Arkansas. Maybe I'm not sure who their third would be. But you're right. I think you get past 3. You look at Alabama. They obviously have to play Auburn. Seems like people think they have to. Seems like right now the current climate have to play LSU. I'm not sure how important that game is as much as people think it is. And then this Tennessee game that people think that has to be played, Alabama-Tennessee, which has not been competitive or entertaining.
Well, in fact, Tennessee has a longer losing streak against Bama than Arkansas.
In the current climate, I'd give all of that up just to see him play Georgia every year in the regular season. But I don't think either of those programs want none of that.
No, I don't think so either.
And you're doing this, why? To be fair, or?
I just think that I feel like having divisions and it's just like an old school way thing because, you know, SEC basketball used to have divisions and they changed it up. And I feel like it's bettered the product because you get the best teams in postseason play. And I know that no one really cares about the SEC tournament. I feel like I could do the same thing with football. Instead of having, you know, back there, there was a few years where Florida was winning and you're like, they have no chance against Alabama or whatever. If you would have thrown in Auburn and Alabama rematch in the SEC title game because those were the two best teams, I feel like it just puts a better product out on the field.
So how do you determine who goes? Just the best two records amongst all the teams?
I mean,
you don't have a division. You just like the Big 12 and the top two teams. So is that how you determine who goes?
Yeah.
Okay, so my only issue, and you may not catch this, so what happens if a team this year gets Ole Miss, Arkansas, and Vandy? Or if Kentucky is down this year, Kentucky or Tennessee, Arkansas, Ole Miss, or Arkansas, Ole Miss, and somebody else. Because I see what you're saying as far as when the divisions, when you have the two divisions, whoever's on Alabama's side is going to get second. I mean, you know,
right.
More times
than not,
than not, you're playing for second. And then when you start to look at the West, and you're like, hold on, not only, okay, so who's maybe, if you're looking at the top five teams in the league, you get four from one division and one from another. So I understand that, but then you're also going to have years where a team may not be better than another, but they're going to catch, like this upcoming year, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Vandy. Whereas, and then there was another team that, by looking at them with the eye test, it's a better football team, but they don't have a better record because instead of catching the three bottom feeders, they catch Auburn, LSU, Georgia, or Tennessee.
But you're not
going to
catch nine bottom feeders in this league. You may have three of those permanent, but you still got six other games where you're going to have to go. The thing with nine games is you're going to have five at home, four on the road, or vice versa. And that's one other challenge to doing scheduling is alternating.
Yeah. That's right.
That's to some degree a factor now, but now you have four and four. You play, four at home, four on the road, unless you're Arkansas, or you play in A&M, you play in Little Rock, you play all these, you know. But for the most part, that's how it's done.
Yeah.
So when you put an odd number in there, you put an odd number on your – and now, I think for the fan, and I always look at it from what's best for the fans, because the fans own the program, the fans pay the bills, the fans buy the tickets, the fans buy the dish and cable plans and everything else that support the SEC network, because it's not ads on the SEC network. Other than in the games, they don't have ads.
Right.
It's the $3 or $4 a month that it's built into your plan. So the fans pay for all this stuff, indirectly or directly. So what's better for the fans? Well, what's not better for the fans is one more Eastern Illinois game, or one more North Texas game, or one more. And it may hurt a coach's record long term. You may be looking up at a coach after four or five seasons, and he's three games below 500 because he's played better competition. But guess what? As a fan, you've been treated to a better home schedule. And that's what I'd rather see.
I think more SEC games are better. I mean, like you said, for the fans.
It's better for the fans.
Yeah, even if you aren't playing Vanderbilt.
But it's not better for the coaches.
No.
It's not better for the administrators in some regards. It's better for revenue from an administrator standpoint. But when you're judged by record, and let's face it, Jeff Long was ultimately fired because Brett Bielema didn't win enough ball games.
Essentially.
I mean, there was other reasons, but
that was a big one.
If you dig down into the roots, down into the DNA of this thing, the reason is there wasn't enough football wins. And, you know, that's the resistance, I think, from the power brokers in this thing is, you put an extra game in there, you got to do it. And then also, how do you get paid for that? Does CBS and ESPN have more money to give you to play these games? Because that'd be the only reason you would do it. And I think eventually it will come to a nine-game conference schedule, whether it's your scheduling plan of three permanent and six rotating, or however you, in no divisions, however you do it. I think eventually we get to nine conference games in this league, because that's the only way you can take that next step up in revenue.
So I'm glad you agree with that, but here's the point, though, is would you rather have that schedule of the nine games and all that, but keep divisions? Because I feel like divisions should just go away. Divisions, in my opinion, were really created for travel expenses and just, you know, having most of the teams that have been close in proximity to keep it easier, but you don't have that anymore.
We've done it in basketball.
That doesn't matter at all.
We've gotten rid of divisions in basketball,
exactly.
And we've survived.
And they travel a lot more. Now, it's more expensive to travel a football team than a basketball team. I get it, but it just, to me, divisions are old school.
Well, so now, the travel, that's the one thing that I don't think matters at all.
No.
Because
zero.
Football games are played on Mondays, Tuesdays. No, they're played on Saturdays. And so, and that's a big difference whenever, and you have one a week. Whereas in basketball, you're talking about having two a week. And so if the travel, if it doesn't mean as much in basketball, that's the one issue that I don't see playing a factor at all. It's like the travel and the expenses, because it's not as big of a deal to save money now.
I want to bring this back up in 7 o'clock because there's some more stuff I want to get to on that. It is an interesting conversation, especially when it comes to improving the game in the SEC football. 877-377-6963. Favorite segment of the day coming up next on The Morning Rush.
This is Hot Take Monday on The Morning Rush, brought to you by Crabtree RV in Alma. Crabtree RV, where your family dreams come true.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com.
I got that wood.
This.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Is.
Smile.
The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I refuse to wear pants.
Tommy Kraft.
Tavita Tualaka Ogno Tualapa Opano Mosesetovo Vahi Oho Vihokeo Balai Tutuo.
I think I nailed it.
And Nick Mason.
I'm going to invite all my closest friends to play golf, and Tommy Kraft, John Neighbors are not part of that group.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
1 hour down, 2 hours to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. Going to be joined by Tom Murphy, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, here in about 45 minutes. Catch up with him about the Razorback baseball team and the success that they've had this weekend, this past weekend, and see where they're going to go heading into this weekend as well. I wanted to bring up the segment that we were discussing in the last hour about SEC scheduling. And in case you're just joining us, there's not anything that's on the table or on the plate for SEC scheduling or anything like that. This is more just pure speculation because, again, I'm always personally looking for ways to improve college football the best I can. And that's just maybe a selfish way to look at it. But I feel like there are things, even though as great of a sport there is, there's some things that can be improved. And I personally would like to see the SEC move to a schedule where they have nine games, a nine-game conference slate. You have three permanent opponents for each team, and then six rotating opponents. So that way you keep it fresh, you keep it new. And I don't believe that any other team in the SEC needs more than three permanent opponents, because you got certain teams like Alabama. They have to play Auburn. They have to play Tennessee. All right, so who's the other team you have to play? Maybe an LSU, I think is what you brought up, Tommy. I mean, that could be the case too. And there's a lot of teams like that. So now it's just the question becomes of, one, would you like to see that? And two, for instance, if it was Arkansas and they moved to this schedule, who would be the three opponents that Arkansas would want them to have? Because I guess everyone's going to say, well, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and Missouri. I mean, I don't think that's what most people say.
I don't think people paying for season tickets want that.
I don't want that.
You know? I do. And
of course,
I don't know. I don't know. But see, like, it's not fun losing. And I understand people want to see premium games. People want to, but when's the last time Alabama has been a good game?
I mean, they've had a couple years.
2014? That was the 14-13 final.
In 15, they were in there as well.
Yeah, so, until the very end.
Okay, but they lost by 20. Was that in 15?
They lost 27-14. So, I mean, they lost by 13 points.
And you've played Auburn a couple of times, and those games have gotten away from you. And so, like, I understand that you want to see top 10 teams in the country come in and play, and you want to see this and that. But do you want to see that more, or do you want to win football games more? Do you want to see those top-tier teams on your schedule more, or do you want to see yourself going to back-to-back bowl games more? And so my thing, I couldn't I'm only upset I can't pick Vandy three times.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, let me throw it around this way, because being realistic, every team wants Vanderbilt, Missouri, and Kentucky. I mean, if they want to win most of the games, that's what every team in the SEC would want their schedule to look like. So, but realistically, that wouldn't happen. That wouldn't be the three permanent opponents.
Somebody's going to get something like that, though.
I don't think the SEC would allow that.
Hold on. There are five programs right now that anybody would like try to pick. Arkansas, Ole Miss, Kentucky, Vandy, and probably Missouri. There are going to be teams out there that get a combination of all three of those because, I mean, you can't keep everybody away from those teams because you have a certain amount. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I mean, I see what you're saying, but at the same time, though, I they're not good now, but teams like Arkansas or teams like what was the other team you said you brought up?
Arkansas. I think everybody would want some combination of Arkansas, Ole Miss, Vandy,
okay,
Missouri,
and Kentucky,
and probably Kentucky.
Yeah.
And we keep saying Missouri, and they won the league a couple times.
Yeah, but see, like two of the three teams that you just mentioned there, there's been times where they've had really good teams. It's not like they've just been consistently bad. I know Vanderbilt was good under James Franklin, but they're not getting to that. And Kentucky, my goodness, I don't think they've ever been good. Their best year was when Rich Brooks was the coach. That was a long time ago. So I get that point, but yeah, right now Arkansas may be a bad team, but who knows in the next couple years, or even an Ole Miss. They may be a bad team now, but
you're choosing your schedule now, though. You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't think you're necessarily projecting, okay, does Arkansas have good in-state recruiting classes coming up? Or how is Ole Miss going to deal with this or that? If you're picking your schedule today, then you're not necessarily projecting in the future. You're more of looking at where these teams have been.
And that's why any scenario under what you're talking about here, and we're just kind of having
fun, but
any scenario that doesn't include A&M and LSU on your permanent schedule is just foolish talk, because where do you need to go recruit? Texas and Louisiana. So if you're not being able to walk into some of those homes and those places and say, hey, we're going to play here every other year, we're going to play that school that doesn't want you, or that school that's also offering you every year, you know, those are things you need to be able to go in and live and sell in living rooms in East Texas
In
Louisiana. So any plan that doesn't include LSU and A&M, because that's better football. It's got some tradition. You've got a long-standing history with A&M. You've got a lot of great games, and it's been very competitive back and forth with LSU. Those two, to me, if you don't start with those two, you're just not thinking it through.
Well, and again, with basketball, too, each team has three permanent opponents where they do a home-and-home in each year. I think Arkansas in basketball, it's Texas A&M, LSU, and
Missouri. Sure.
Yeah, those are the three teams. So that may have been based more on the region and all of that. But my three teams that I would see is, of course, I feel like Ole Miss or LSU are interchangeable. I wouldn't say one over the other, but I would just personally go with Ole Miss because, like you said, Nick, I feel like if there's a chance of one team you're going to beat more, it's going to be Ole Miss than it comes to LSU. The other one I throw in is Texas A&M for the reasons that Tommy said. You know, the recruiting, you got a lot of history there. Regionally, it makes sense and all that fun stuff. The one that I would kind of go with my wild card is Tennessee. I'd like to see Arkansas and Tennessee play each other every single year, not only because of the competition and how they've been very even the past 10 years as far as a program in general, but there was a lot of history with these two programs back in the late 90s, early 2000s. They had a lot of back and forths. They had a lot of great games. Some of the more epic games that you'll ever remember between these two teams were just, I mean, they were instant classics. And so I would like to see Arkansas play Tennessee if you're going to go across division and have those three opponents be the permanent ones.
And that's not a bad list.
I don't think so, no.
Especially because you're still in Texas and you have the name teams, but I don't think that any of those teams, if this is a race to catch Alabama, if that's what we're in, and everybody is in a race to catch Alabama and Georgia, I don't feel like any program that you named is just that much further ahead in the journey than Arkansas is right now. Maybe Texas A&M, because they're going to continue to get top 10 recruiting classes, and Jimbo Fisher has been a top 10 coach now for the last handful of years. But I wouldn't have an issue playing any of those teams. I just wouldn't want to be the first one to raise my hand saying, oh, well, let's get Alabama and make sure we get them every year. Let's get Georgia or Auburn or, you know, like I'd be, you know, I definitely wouldn't be the first to raise my hand and volunteer for that.
But if you look at it just in the perspective, because we're talking about the here and now, again, speculation, but here and now, the best teams in this conference year in and year out, Arkansas, I would say, would have zero chance of having them as their permanent opponent. You wouldn't. Alabama would not be playing Arkansas as one of their three permanent opponents at all. I don't think Georgia would have Arkansas as one of their three permanent opponents. I don't think a team like Florida would. I don't think a team, I mean, like Auburn wouldn't. I don't think, maybe, but well, that would be a stretch. I just don't think that those are the best teams
here's the,
right now would be.
The
there.
Reality is, you know who's going to pick the permanent opponents?
Alabama.
Nope.
I just assume it's always going to be Nick Saban.
Nope. Try again.
The commissioner.
Nope. Try again.
Fans?
Oh, no. Nope. The cable network.
ESPN.
Yes. Yeah.
CBS. That's, you know, that's who's going to, because they know what games, because what, they know what games, A, they know which markets are most important. They know the metered markets. They know where the population bases are. They know, obviously, Atlanta, you know, is critical in all this, but they know which markets they got to move the needle in to get their advertising dollars back, and that's how all of this works. So we can have all these conversations and what would be regionally great, and for a school like Arkansas, that probably will play into it, and what the commissioner says will. But I'm going to tell you, for Florida and Alabama and Georgia and Auburn and some of these schools that, you know, really tote the mail when it comes to getting viewers to the TV sets to pay off, you know, this $43 million a year each school gets, you think ESPN and CBS aren't going to have a big say in that? Of course they are.
Yeah, for sure. And but
there are going to be the ones having a heavy hand in choosing. You know, Alabama's not going to be playing Missouri and Kentucky every year, I promise you.
No. Alabama is probably going to have the toughest matchups. Well, they'll be playing an Auburn
they'll
and
be playing,
Tennessee.
Well, if the networks had it their way, they'd be playing Auburn. If they had their Alabama would play Auburn, Georgia, and Florida every year.
Yeah.
Why? Mm-hmm. Because those are games you're not going to miss them watching on TV.
Yep, and Nick Saban would be mad about it, too, because he would feel like he's getting an unfair shake at everything, even though he'd probably beat him every year.
I'd be mad about that as well.
Yeah. No, but that, again, you bring up a good point, Tommy. That's what it comes down to, is just who's going to make the decision. It's going to be the people that are writing the checks and who they want to see in those matchups. It's all about the bottom line. And, again, but it goes back to my point with Arkansas. Arkansas doesn't have that right now, where the SECs or the ESPNs and SEC Network are looking at and saying, well, okay, well, let's see. Where can we put Arkansas to make sure that they get, you know, a big national
game? Because you live in one of the smallest markets in the conference.
Exactly.
How does basketball choose? Do they go off of whatever the best game is as well? Is that what you think? Or how do they choose the rotational opponents?
Well, they have a formula for it.
If you know. Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Let me ask my basketball analyst here.
Yeah.
No clue.
No, but and I think
because in years that it seemed like, okay, this is obvious. Arkansas's for sure going to play this team. No, they never do. Yeah.
No, there's a rotation to it with the 18 games that you play. I think it's four permanent opponents.
It's three permanent opponents.
Three. Yeah. And then they rotate the other
but
six.
But when I'm saying the others are rotating, it's not an equal rotation. It's not like if you play this team twice this year, then the next year you're not going to play them. There's not like a reason all the time that you're playing a team twice or you're not playing a team
twice. Like, for instance, I think Arkansas has played at Florida for five straight years. Now, granted, they've had some times where they've played them at home too, but each year they've played at Florida, it seems like. So, I mean, I don't know the algorithm that they use as far as the scheduling goes, but I do know that they have the three permanent opponents. And for Arkansas, A&M, LSU, and Missouri, I guess if you were going to have three basketball opponents, those are pretty nice ones to have permanently.
Are we sure it's not four? Because I feel like they've played
four.
I feel like
they would be the other one.
Mississippi State every year.
But see, last year they only played Mississippi State once.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll do some research on that. We'll look at that. But, no, it's definitely an interesting conversation. We're going to continue right here on The Morning Rush. 877-377-6963. We'll get to more of the show, but first this from Williams Tractor.
Hey, have you been mowing that yard over the weekend and that mower is not getting the job done? You need to stop by Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and Berryville or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas and check out their line of Hustler mowers. You can get a residential family of mower, one of their residential mowers, starting at $27.99, at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and in Berryville. The power, strength, and speed of a professional zero-turn mower that will quickly maneuver around all the obstacles in your yard and give you more time. Find the entire lineup of Hustler residential and commercial zero-turn mowers at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and Berryville and Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas and Rogers today.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
All at hitthatline.com. This is the Morning Rush.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. We're going to spend this entire segment, though, and Tommy and talking about how much he loves and can't get enough of the royal wedding.
I am so over the royal wedding that we've still got another week of living through. Why do any of us care?
Somebody does.
About the royal family in another country.
Somebody has
to. In Windsor Castle.
I really care about the series Suits, and I don't know if you guys have seen it.
I've seen it.
But she's actually in Suits, his wife-to-be, and she's really good in Suits.
So that's why you're interested in the royal wedding?
Well, I've been semi-interested in her. And
I can see why.
And I thought I had a chance until I saw who her better half was.
And if
you're talking about anybody in the world that you don't have a chance with, like Beyonce and her are probably neck and neck.
Right up there. But thing is, Tommy, it's never going to end. There's always going to be a royal child that's getting married, so it's just going to keep going.
The American population's. How we're so mesmerized with what goes on with the royal family. I don't get it.
Now, but I will say this, though. And a listener and a couple of listeners called in during the basketball season, and they talked about us not putting enough pressure on Mike Anderson and saying that we can spin the narrative. And then they reverted back to the football season, and whenever Ruskin and Kraft were saying, hey, listen, Brett Bielema has to go. This isn't going to work. So I don't know how interested we are in it. I bring up that story to say that's just what they're putting on TV.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, they usually try to put stuff on TV that people care about.
Right.
So obviously people care about it.
But if they're guessing and they go all out and they're going to say, okay, I think people care about this. Because,
this will get a huge number. When is it? Sunday morning or Sunday when they televise this thing?
I think so, yeah.
Can't come quick enough.
Right. I think.
I'm just tired of having the national news on, and this is what is on the national news.
A lot of it. I think if you pump up anything as much as they've done it, regardless if you care about it or not, you're going to find a little interest in it, and you're going to watch on.
Yeah, well, I think that's just news. I mean, even if you do sports and stuff, there was people that were tired of ESPN talking about Tim Tebow all the time. You know, they're like, no one cares about Tim Tebow. Well, obviously, somebody does.
Because every time he gets on,
So people started watching the show. But, no, Tommy is not going to break
down. Today at the Royal Wedding, live coverage. Here's the worst words of it. Live coverage all week.
There you go. See, so Tom, you'll be able to catch it and keep up to date on everything going on.
Sports Center on here in a minute.
You know, just go ahead and throw it over there. But
do you think they purposely planned it during the slowest time of the year?
I mean, I don't know. Again, I don't follow it enough. I don't know what goes into the scheduling. I'm sure it's tradition to have it. You know, everything's tradition.
Yeah,
as is tradition.
No, true.
Hey, just
true.
Only thing we can be thankful for is that this didn't occur during football season.
Oh man. Well, I mean,
I don't think weddings should be allowed on Saturdays during football season anyway.
Do not get me started on that.
Yeah.
Because I have very close friends that think weddings need to be not only during football season, but during the Alabama game or the LSU game.
Hey, listen, you got to buy a license to go deer hunting. I got to buy a license to go fishing. You got to buy a license to get married. There just should be a season on this.
Mm-hmm.
And from about Labor Day till Thanksgiving, you can't get a marriage license.
It's like open enrollment for insurance.
You can get married. You can get married Monday through Thursday, but from Friday, Saturday, and Sundays from Labor Day till Thanksgiving, no marriages are allowed.
But I'd accept.
There'll be a season.
I'd accept it if it's a bye week. I won't like it, but I'll accept it if it's on a bye week.
But the problem is, if you're the one getting married, then your anniversary is going to occur in 2 years on the Alabama weekend. And your wife's going to want to go antiquing in Eureka Springs that weekend instead of going to the Alabama game.
Sounds like you know from experience
or
you know somebody.
No, I got married. Say, married in March.
But do you know somebody that has had a wedding in the football season?
Oh, yes, because I've had to miss work. I've had to miss football weekends to go to weddings in the middle of October, and it pisses me off. Yeah.
I can't tell. But, no, I'm with you, though. I'm with you, though. I don't know why people in the right mind would do that, especially when, like, the husband and the wife are both football fans. So.
At least the royal family here planned this wedding in May and not
At least they have the
October.
Decency.
At least they had the decency.
To plan it around in May instead of ruining our college football season.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, thanks. That's the only thing we'll thank you for, but at least you had the decency to plan it around that. Tom Murphy will be joining us here in about 5 minutes, so we're going to catch up with him on a few things there. But before I do, real quick, we've been talking about the home record and everything for Dave Van Horn and the Razorback Hogs, and I know that people wanted to hear about what he had to say on the record itself. And in a true Dave Van Horn fashion, this is what he had to say.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when you think about it. I mean, I don't care how good you are. Just winning 29 out of 32 games at home is amazing. And it set us up, you know, in conference play. I mean, 14-1 at home in conference play. That's something else, and gives us a chance to go to Georgia, you know, with some work to do. So we're looking forward to it.
So it's impressive.
Would you trade any of those for a road? Would you trade a home win for a road win?
I would not, and this is the only reason why I would not. When you say 14-1 at home, you're talking about the most dominant in the country. Now, I don't know everybody else's home or record, but I'm gonna
who's better than that,
right? Yeah. I'm gonna go on a limb and say there's probably nobody that's undefeated at this point at home. If you traded a couple of those wins, then you're just talking about, oh, well, you're pretty
you're
good
another team
at home, but right now at home you are automatic.
Yeah,
and it goes from being automatic to you are a pretty good team, and there are a bunch of other pretty good teams out there. How many teams do you think are 14-1 or better at home this year? Probably not more than a handful, if any. And so, no, I wouldn't trade any of that for a few road wins or even a series win on the road. Because even if you won one, we'd still be saying the same thing. Oh, wow, you only won one.
Yeah. And it's not like one of those things that, like, the Razorback basketball team would be so many years where they'd be 14-1 or, you know, 16-1 at home or 16-0.
And 0 for
on the road, where it just it balanced itself out and didn't really make you feel good about it. Now, I know that Arkansas, for series-wise, is 0 for on the road in conference play. They have another opportunity against Georgia, but it's not the same thing, nearly.
And the strength of schedule's at, what, 5? So, I mean, there's just a lot of metrics, you know, from RPI to strength of schedule to home record. I know the road record is what it is, but we talk about this road record and the lack of conference series victories, but look at their Friday night record on the road. You know, Blaine Knight's still I know he hadn't gotten to the decision every time, but he's still undefeated, right? You know, at least on Friday nights, they have went on the road and pitched well and played well. And it's not like they haven't won a road game. They just hadn't won a road series. Friday nights have not been, or the game ones have not been the problem. I say Friday nights. They're not always sometimes it's Thursday. But they seem to fare pretty well on game one, and then it's always game two and three that they have the problem. So even if you go on the road for a super regional, even if things don't pan out for you to play at home the second weekend of postseason play, even if that's the case, you feel pretty good about rolling Blaine Knight out anywhere in the country
no matter
and getting
where
a victory,
at.
And then you just got to find a way to win one more game.
Yeah, and if they can just keep the great homestead that they've had into postseason play, I mean, they could walk into the College World Series. I mean, that's going to be a difficult task because you're playing some of the best teams in the country from then on, especially in the Super
Regional.
And
that's what you're also playing is for a higher seed so that maybe you get a, you know, perhaps an easier opponent, you know.
Yeah. And that's what they're playing for right now. Get that national seed, have it home the rest of the way, and then once you get into Omaha, it does come into effect as well. We're going to talk about that with Tom Murphy here in just a second from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. But first, of course, Gaston's.
Hey, Gaston's White River Resort, perfect for your summer getaway, perfect for that late spring getaway. I know we hadn't had a lot of spring weather, but it's a great place to go. And so much to do there. Obviously, the fishing is the star of the show, but they got a 3-plus-mile nature trail there. You can walk, you can jog. That goes along the river, but goes back up in to another part of the resort. They got a place where you can see some birds and some other wildlife that they've got there for the kids, that they love it. There's a playground for the kids. The pool will be open very soon for the whole family to enjoy while you're not on the White River. There's just simply something for everyone at Gaston's White River Resort. And of course, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and their wonderful restaurant that overlooks the White River. And you can enjoy that anytime, even if you're not staying at Gaston's. 870-431-5202. Be sure and enjoy some of that fishing at Gaston's, one of their experienced guides, with over 30 years of experience for most of their guides right there on the White River. 870-431-5202 for your reservations. Gaston's White River Resort. A first-class time.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.